Hello, listener. It's Moose. Just giving you a heads up that there is a spoiler coming in Perry Mason involving a major character that spoilers at about 22 minutes, 39 seconds. Enjoy.
It's a Married with Channels podcast. And as I mentioned in the tag before the podcast, spoilers will be coming regarding Perry Mason. Episodes 1 through 5. I am Moose.
I'm Jody.
We're married. Yeah. We'll watch TV shows and talk about them.
TV.
I was a little, almost worried that we were going to be talking too much about this show off air, so to speak. But we're talking Perry Mason, episodes 1 through 5. I get sucked into these shows. Initially, like, I see, like, the old-timey period piece stuff. I'm like, okay.
You've got me
interested.
Yeah.
Like that one show that we have not watched. It's about the alternate history during World War II where who's the pilot who was a noted Nazi sympathist? Lindbergh.
The man from High Castle?
No. No. It's an HBO show and I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, It's set during World War II and it's looks intense and it's got John Leguizamo. Anyway.
We should be more prepared when we talk about these things.
Right. What the hell is that show? But anyway, we're talking about Perry Mason. This is interesting in that it's kind of a prequel to the TV show. And I think it is, I know it's got the full blessing of the author of the books. And that person's family estate, whatever.
Sure. Now, can I ask, were you a fan of the original? I'm a big fan.
I know you are.
Yeah.
You watch it sometimes at night when we're going to bed.
Yeah.
When I check it, I've only watched it based on you watching it.
Yeah.
And I'm not really watching it. I'm just kind of peering over my iPad while I'm reading or watching a YouTube video, and I'll check out a little bit. And it's fine. I like Raymond Burr. He's a good actor.
Sure.
It's an interesting, it's kind of both ends of the spectrum, opposite ends of the spectrum as far as the character. Because in the Perry Mason Raymond Burr TV show, he's very stoic and serious and... You know, Whereas in this Perry Mason, played by Matthew Rhys, the great Matthew Rhys of the Americans, he's a drunk and he's cynical and he's kind of jaded and he's, you know, he's lucid and he's got some quips, just a far cry from the Raymond Burr.
And he doesn't always play by the rules either.
Right. Yeah. He's kind of a, you know, he's bribing the mortician.
Yeah.
The city morgue guy and all that. And he's giving them evidence and stuff. That's kind of funny.
Time out. That's her child. That's her child stomping down. What do you need? It hasn't been long enough. It's still nut time. And you look really sleepy. So please go lay back down.
I'm telling you, I can't.
You can. You're so sleepy. You're so close. I can see it in your face, in your eyes.
As she violently stomps up the stairs.
Are you going to keep that in or edit my parenting out? Please edit my parenting out.
We'll leave it in.
No.
Why? It's fine.
Because I don't need to be mommy shamed. All right, people, please don't mommy shame me. It's been a long day. It's been a long week.
This is why we can't ever do this. Because of stuff like that. It gets,
I know.
For those who don't listen regularly, the now nine-year-old, happy birthday. Takes forever to go to bed.
Yes.
And by the time she actually falls asleep, it's 8:39, tired. Just want to watch TV or a movie or something.
Yes.
Just veg.
We have minimal adult time around here. During quarantine, we are all quarantined still. All right. Hope you guys are too. Put a mask on. That's my statement.
For God's sakes, let's just get back into it and get this over with.
Okay, so the great Matthew Rhys, that's where we kind of left that, how he was different than the stoic original character.
Yeah. And he's great.
I like that this is kind of the backstory of that character.
Yeah, though. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't know. Maybe this character is going to get cleaned up and sober and, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll watch that transformation as more episodes come along.
Right.
You know. But I like that this is kind of his humble beginnings and how he came to be Perry Mason, the lawyer.
Yeah, agreed. He's, it's, you know, they have, you have the preconceived notion in your head, and then this comes in, it's like, okay, I'm curious to see where this goes, see how this evolution goes from, how does he go from being a, you know, a father of a kid whose wife doesn't want him to see his kid, who's is a drunk and a cynical, war devastated PTSD guy, to this professional, clean cut,
and maybe
stoic
he won't.
Character from the TV show.
And maybe he won't in this version. Who knows? I mean, they can maybe take some little creative license with things too, but.
Well, yeah, and this takes place 1932, 1934, somewhere in
32. Says, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's, the show was set 55, 6, so.
Sure.
20, 30 years?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much of the chronology they're going to adhere to.
Sure.
But it's its own beast. And even if you're not like a Perry Mason fan, I think you can enjoy this because, you know, like most dramas these days, there's one big mystery spread out over 10, 12 episodes. And if you're into the original mystery and the plot, you should probably be into the show, I think. So, like I said, we're on we just finished episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume there's about 5 more episodes, hopefully. But spoiler alert, no, we won't spoil it yet.
I just want to say, I love the Della Street character. Like, mm-hmm. It's such a kind of a, I mean, she's a secretary, but she can hang with the boys. Like, she sticks up for herself. And so I kind of like that little.
Agreed.
Little and, piece to her.
Yeah. And she's, but they're still kind of grounding her in the reality of that era.
Yes.
Where she's a secretary and yeah. She kind of, and I hate to say this, it might sound a little crass, but she knows her role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes these things can get too easy to be like, well, screw you, EB. I'm not doing that. I don't have to put up with that. I'm an independent woman, which I'm all for.
Yeah.
But in that era,
right,
you don't get very far.
I know, but I think
during that time,
I think too, like, she knows that EB relies on her to handle stuff and get things done. And she's doing it, you know.
Yeah, but I think he also underestimates her and takes her for granted.
Sure, yeah.
But yep. Yeah, no, she's proven to be a good foil.
I
like
her voice,
E.B. Jonathan. Yeah, she got a great voice.
Yeah,
and it's like kind of smoky.
Yeah, Juliet Rylance is her name. Yeah,
she's Australian, right?
I don't know. She's a blonde. So seeing her IMDb picture, I was like. Oh, yeah, that's her. Okay.
No, she's British.
All right.
She's a Brit.
Well, she's got a great voice.
Yeah, she's a Brit. Matthew Rhys is a Welsh.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a Brit. Yeah. I told you I heard an interview with him the other day with his Welsh accent. So funny hearing that.
It's always so weird, isn't it? Actors and actresses. Yeah.
But I touched on Matthew Rhys briefly, but how good of an actor is he?
Yeah.
Like, in The Americans, he was so good.
I just think he just keeps getting better and better, too. You know?
I think the material in The Americans was a little better.
Sure.
He had more acting chops to put on display there by sheer virtue of he kind of had to play a couple different characters in disguise. But I think overall the writing and stuff was superior in The Americans. Not that Perry Mason is bad, by no means. I think it's good writing. It's a well-done show. And can we touch on Shea Whigham real quick?
Yeah, that's his name I was just kind of searching for. I think, you know, that's another great actor.
He was born to play these roles. Like, remember him in Boardwalk Empire?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was born to play these rough and tumble kind of, you know, knockabout, you know, street detective gnarly guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't that in Boardwalk Empire. It was a different character, but
yeah, well,
he excels at the old timey characters. Like, I've seen him in other stuff. He was briefly in The Joker. He didn't really do much in that. But,
sure.
Anytime I've seen him, it's been decent. You know, is that the kid?
The other one. Sorry. Oh. Sorry, everyone. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, so Shea Whigham, he's good.
Yeah, very. And I like that it's not, you know, just the Matthew Rhys show. I mean, even though
it's a good ensemble.
It is. It's kind of showcasing a lot. I mean, even, you know, John Lithgow, I didn't realize kind of how good he was because I only really saw him in, you know, funny
Harry sitcom. And the Hendersons.
Yeah, like funny sitcom type things.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, Third Rock. Yeah. It's kind of cool to see him in a more serious role.
Yeah. I didn't see him in Dexter. I heard he was good in that.
Yeah, we didn't watch that one.
My thing with John Lithgow is he always seems like he's like one of these guys. He's a good actor, but he always seems like he's acting.
Huh.
Like it's almost bordering on over the top.
Hmm.
And as I say that, I should qualify it with in this show, he seems more subdued.
Sure. That in this role, in this show. So that's good. Yeah. Can I tell you one thing I don't like about the show?
What's that?
I am sure there is kind of a greater arc and more of a purpose of it, but the kind of church part of the show with the kind of healers, the faith healers, and just kind of that whole side. It's like its own story and its own show. within this, and I just want more of the other stuff, I guess.
Agreed. I kind of not tune out, but I get a little like my mind wanders a little bit when they're in the church, and that's not because I'm not religious. Same. It's just because it's just not engaging, and I think part of it is I it seems like it's a trope that's been used before, and unfortunately I can't think of an example off the top of my head, so
sure,
maybe this argument doesn't hold water, but the trope is that it's a mysterious very verbal church leader who might be a suspect is involved with this somehow. Maybe some shadiness going on there. Who knows what they're really about?
Sure.
And either they become romantically entangled with the lead, or they become kind of an adversary / suspect.
Sure.
And that's where I kind of feel like that's going.
Yeah.
Not so much by episode 5. She seems more of a sympathetic good character, the pastor sister Alice, played by Tatiana Maslany.
I think too, like, it's just eating up a lot of screen time. It's just really kind of drawn out, and she is talented, but you're just kind of dressing her up, putting her on that stage, and pattern repeat here for me. Now by episode 5, I'm just kind of like, okay, what is this, what is your purpose here? What do you have to do with the rest of these people?
I think part of the issue there, it's got to lead to something. It's got to be involved in something.
Yes, obviously, or it wouldn't be happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably a kid movie.
No, sorry. I am so sorry. I will silence my...
But I think the church thing will be involved. It'll play a part in however the outcome of the case goes.
Sure.
Can we talk about people looking old as...
Who's that?
Lily Taylor.
Yeah, I was just looking at her.
It's funny, like when I saw her cast playing the mother of Sister Alice, Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. I was wondering when she was going to start getting cast as the mother of the adult person.
Sure.
And here we are. Also, Robert Patrick of Terminator 2 Judgment Day. God, he looks like a grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he was the T-1000 in Terminator 2? He was like a young guy.
Yes.
Skinny, hauling ass, trying to kill drunky, McDruggy, Edward Furlong, and then Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, but honestly, honey, sorry, but that was a long time ago.
That was 30 years ago.
What, like 92?
It's like, 90, 92.
Yeah, we're getting old, love. Sorry, that was a long time ago. People are going to age in 30 years.
Back to the show, I think Detective Ennis is an interesting character. You know, when it started out, he was kind of come across as the bad cop who's on the take, who's going to rig the case, you know?
Sure.
But it seems like, based on episode 5 anyway, he's become maybe something a little bit more than that.
Sure.
I maybe his conversation with Pete, Shea Whigham's character, was more of a false lead to throw off Mason and his investigation.
Sure.
But it seems like he kind of sold me on how he might be actually just trying to follow the lead of Holcomb, the lead detective.
Yeah.
And it's all his doing, but shall see.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. We shall see.
No, that's it.
Yeah. I like... I like, too, that you're seeing some of those other characters in the old show, too. Like, in the old Perry Mason, his kind of detective guy is Paul Drake. Mm-hmm. Now, they have thrown in, you know, kind of the racism factor into this period piece, too. Paul Drake is played by Chris Chalk.
Yeah.
Chris Chalk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have race issues in this show, like them getting kicked off the beach and, you know, how he's kind of ordered by the Caucasian officers to change his reports and things like that. And so
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see that character evolve into essentially being Perry's right hand man. I mean, that's what role he plays in the old show. So right. I don't know if they're going to go that route, but
yeah, I mean, it's early, but I'm curious to see how far they go with stuff. Would this go to season 4 or 5 and by season 5, that Paul Drake is Perry Mason, Matthew Reese is right-hand man?
Sure.
I don't know. We'll see. I got to believe that I feel like Pete's not going to make it through this season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean.
Shea Whigham's
character. Yeah, I don't think he'll make it either because, like I said, in the old show, Perry's right-hand man detective person is Paul Drake. Also, I have another little complaint, and maybe it'll come back around, but a minor character is kind of Perry's companion.
Is who?
Perry's companion, the Hispanic pilot lady.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Her name is Lupe Gibbs.
Okay.
Lupe. In the show, and she's played by Veronica Falcone.
Falcone! That's more of a falcon.
It's pronounced Falcon?
There's
an accent over there. I mispronounce names all the time. I apologize to all of you people with names that I've butchered.
I was saying, I was doing my Falcon bird impression. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I didn't know what the point of that character was. It was such a brief kind of thing, and it was like a, I don't know.
It's still going on.
Yeah. She wasn't in this last episode at all.
No, but, you know, she's been in a total of 3-4 scenes through 5 episodes. Sure. I think she'll come back. I think her purpose there is to provide character development for Perry Mason because she, I don't know how it's come to be, but she wants to buy his farm to expand the airfield, the airport, whatever. She's a pilot. So I think that adds another level of kind of chaos and consternation for Mr. Mason.
Sure, that's his family.
Consternation for Mr. Mason.
That's his family farm, and
yeah,
he's trying to still make that work, and maybe he will give that up to her to start his law firm, you know, his office. And
no, I think she's there to provide some conflict for him, you know. She's every time you see her, he's reminded of you know, that farm and how, you know, whether or not to sell it. He probably thinks, I shouldn't sell it. It's the family farm. But at the same time, reasonably, realistically, I probably should because I'm not a farmer.
I don't know if
it's almost like it's a parable for letting go of the past.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's probably very symbolic of the transition of the character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what her purpose is. And who knows, maybe she'll serve some other purpose plot-wise.
Sure.
I don't know, but she is ugly as hell, isn't she?
That's rude.
She is not a good-looking woman.
Rude.
She's probably nice, but woof. Sorry.
You are not nice.
I can say that because I'm gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. I probably should have done some research on this, but Hamilton Berger, the guy who comes to help Perry study for the bar exam at the end there. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the guy that he always goes head-to-head with in court?
Hamilton
in the old
Berger.
Show? Yeah. I mean, that name sounds super familiar, so I don't know. I probably should have looked into that. Sorry.
I don't know. I can Google that here.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. The case is disturbing itself. Like,
oh, it is.
I had a hard time when they actually... showed the baby. It is Hamilton Berger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
interesting. It's, yeah. Okay.
So maybe they'll be squaring off in court in this show.
Maybe. Because he said he was gunning for the DA's job? Yeah. Yep. So they will... go toe to toe. And
interesting. So maybe that'll provide some sort of chip on his shoulder later on, because if you go by the Perry Mason TV show, not this one, but the the Raymond Burr, he's not the district attorney. He's just a ADA. So maybe in this version, you know, he helps out Perry Mason and Della, and it doesn't benefit him to become district attorney. So maybe he holds a grudge or something.
I don't know.
What were we going to say about the baby?
Oh, it was disturbing when they actually showed it. I had a hard time with that as mommy.
Yeah, that was a little disturbing, but I'm glad they used a doll or CGI or something, obviously.
Yeah.
I love the, speaking of the baby.
Yeah.
I love the interactions at the morgue with the, I forget the guy's, the character's name.
Yeah.
But he's the mortician or the coroner. He's a deputy coroner or something like that. I like those interactions there. Can we get to the spoiler?
Sure, go for it.
It was sad to see E.B. Jonathan kill himself.
Yeah.
And I don't know off the top of my head why.
Well, he was in a lot of financial difficulty, hardship.
Right.
And
yeah, and he just got fired, essentially, by the church.
Yeah.
For representing, what's her name?
Emily Dodson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, who knows really why people make that choice, you know?
Yeah, but it was sad to see him go. I read somewhere, and it makes sense that he's a lawyer from another time. Things are changing.
Sure.
He's not his old.
Yeah.
Cronies aren't going to help him out.
Yeah.
You know, the old boys club or whatever.
Yeah.
And like you said, his financial hardships and getting fired from the church for this case.
Yep.
He'd probably, he's paid through the month on his office. So my guess is his house is probably teetering.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe he just, and it doesn't sound like he was much of a family man.
Also, didn't we see him? Did he cough up blood in one of the earlier episodes? Maybe he was sick and didn't want to go out like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? I thought he did, because he got up and he was kind of teetering himself, and he didn't want Della to notice. Like he would lose chunks of time just standing there spacing off.
Hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, you know, and I think now that you mention that, I don't know about the blood, but I read somewhere like possible dementia setting in.
Yeah. So maybe he just didn't want to go out that way.
Maybe he's got diabetes or something. I mean, that one episode where he fell asleep with his shoes on and talked about his feet swell at night.
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, and now that I mention that, I wonder if that'll come back. You know, because he killed himself. Della found him, called Perry.
Yeah.
And they set him up in his bed to make it look like he had just died in his sleep.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the feet swelling thing will come into play.
Like they'll find out that he didn't do it that way.
Yeah. But now that I think about it, he died with his shoes on. So his feet were probably swollen.
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't
but,
either.
But maybe Perry's buddy in the morgue will, I don't know though.
But it seems like they just buried him.
Right.
They just threw him in the casket and he's
dead. Unless they probably have reason to do an autopsy, they probably wouldn't in that case. If it appears natural and the person is of a certain age and deceased, unless the family pushes and pays for it, I think they just determine that it's natural causes, unless somebody can find evidence of otherwise, you know?
Yeah, no, they, back in those days, there's probably not a lot of, like, oh, we better look into this.
Yeah.
It's probably like, well, he was 70-something. Yeah. It's 1932.
Yeah.
Nobody lives long nowadays, so it happens. Good night. Here's your casket.
Sure.
Well, so that was a little sad, but it does provide the impetus for Perry Mason to become a lawyer, which is interesting. Have you read the books?
No. No, I'm kind of curious too, though.
Yeah, I wonder how much, because in the show, he becomes a lawyer essentially by somebody coaching him on the bar exam.
Yeah, like Della forges the letter that says he's had an apprenticeship under EB for the last 2.5 years. And he goes and takes the bar exam and gets sworn in. And that's that, you know?
So I wonder if that's how it went in the book.
Well, and I bet you that's what ticks off kind of his his rival.
Hamilton Burger.
Yeah, Hamilton Burger.
His future rival.
He's like all kind of hoity-toity, like, I have a law degree from Yale, thank you very much. And, you know, like, here's Perry, just waltz it in and, like, memorize the answers. Essentially kind of cheating.
Cheating, yeah.
You know, but, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, no, it is. But, so, anything else on Perry Mason?
No, I'm excited about this one. I think it's going to go, hopefully, in a good place.
Yeah. I look forward to it. I enjoy watching it. And I got to come up with a term for that. Because there are shows like we like and watch.
Yeah.
And there are shows where it's like, let's watch this. I want to watch it. You know?
Yeah.
Like maybe we call it Moose C TV.
No.
Okay.
No.
I think I was pretty clever there.
We call it TV Priority 1.
It sounds like some code in the hospital.
It's like the code that, hurry up, our kids are finally asleep. TV priority one.
TV priority one.
Stat.
TV priority one. STAT. Stat.
That's right.
So Perry Mason, episode 1 through 5 on HBO. Or so HBO good. Max, the purple stream machine.
I do have one more little tiny tidbit.
There we go.
About a period piece. I just love the costumes.
Yeah.
You know, I love how good and realistic it's always done, when it's done right, of course, but you know, it's just so good with that stuff.
I think we could probably do a whole podcast on period piece, on period shows.
Oh yeah.
And movies, even not like specifically shows, but just talking about why we're drawn to period shows.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I have a couple ideas.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
And save maybe, it, maybe.
Yeah, we'll save it for another
little bonus episode.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we do this regular one so often.
Yeah, it'll be on our Patreon, which is
that we
thing,
don't have.
Right. But
we're fumbling here. We're fumbling.
Married with the Channels, looking at Perry Mason. That's going to do it for this episode. We'll be back with some more. And have we talked about Hunters?
Maybe briefly.
Hmm.
I can't remember.
I have thoughts there.
Yeah.
And I know you do, too.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll come back to that.
All right.
So yeah, that's going to do it for us. If you, make sure you give us a rating on your podcast provider, give us 5 stars or whatever the hell the star limit is. If it's 25 stars, give us 26, bro.
I mean, you know, handling kid interruptions, that earns 5 stars.
I know. It's so rare that we get to do this. At least give us a good rating. Married with Channels podcast. My name is Moose.
I'm Jody.
And that's going to do it. We'll see you later.
Bye.